Okay, and we're back, and I believe we're going to be joined in this last half hour, or next half hour, by Matt Dodson, a Democrat running for the United States Senate against the incumbent Ben Ray Lujan. Mr. Dodson, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
So for folks down here in the southern part of the state who may not be familiar with you, let me give you a minute just to kind of introduce yourself to our listeners.
I am Matt Dodson. I am proudly running as a Democratic Socialist for United States Senate. My big issues are universal health care, money out of politics, tax the rich, and free college. And now I've had to add to it reform the Supreme Court. And I am taking no corporate or AIPAC money, and I'm just flat too pissed off to be bought off.
Well, let me start with Democratic Socialist, because that is sort of a new term in our politics, and I think not incredibly well-defined yet. So let me ask you, from your perspective, what is the difference between a Democratic Socialist and a traditional Democrat? And then second part of that question, what is the difference between a Democratic Socialist and a traditional Socialist?
So a Democratic Socialist is like Bernie Sanders or Zoran Mamdani, and we are working for the people first. So we are not there in office to work for the corporations or the billionaires and for Israel. And FDR would have been an example of a Democratic Socialist. He didn't call himself that, but he essentially was, because his main job was working for we the people. Now, socialism itself has a multitude of definitions, and I know that a lot of people that remember the Cold War automatically equate socialism with communism, and they are not remotely the same thing. Communism is the government owns everything. Socialism is like Social Security. It is stuff done by all of us for everyone. A great example of socialism are fire departments. It is most fire departments are owned by us and to serve everyone. And the opposite of that would be a privatized fire department. And they used to exist in the U.S., and I thought they were gone, and actually our daughter bought a house in Santan Valley, and it has a privatized fire department. So if you don't pay X amount per square foot of your house every year, they will gladly come and watch your house burn down.
Yep.
So there are definitely things that we the people do a lot better than privatized or capitalist organizations.
It is interesting that you are proposing to go from having no government experience to one of the more sort of exalted positions within our political sphere. Can you talk a little bit about what you think your qualifications are for this?
Well, let me start out with, if Donald Trump is qualified to be president, I'm overqualified to be senator. And frankly, my experience is life experience. And I've been the head, I'm a serial entrepreneur, and I have started several organizations, including Occupy here in Farmington, and I'm very active in Indivisible. I was not one of the two founders, but have ran it, and then involved in running it. I've been the president of the Four Corners Old Car Club. I've been on the River Reach Foundation here in Farmington. So I've got quite a lot of experience on boards, et cetera, and really where I've cut my political teeth is taking on the corruption in the Democratic Party. And I've been doing that for 20 years, which involves, of course, learning the rules of the party and then learning Robert's Rules of Order. And frankly, I have way more experience than when my opponent was ever put in, because he was put on, well, I call him Nepo Baby Benny. He was put on the Public Regulation Commission, which requires at least a bachelor's, and now it requires 10 years total experience in something. And he was put on in 2004 and got his bachelor's in 2007. So he had zero experience. And then went straight from that to being a member of the United States House of Representatives. So I can guarantee you I will get more done in 6 months than he's done in 16 years in Congress.
And just for people who aren't familiar with Senator Lujan's backstory, he is the son of Ben Lujan, who was probably the most powerful speaker of the New Mexico House of Representatives of the last 100 years, probably. So certainly. And I was there in Santa Fe covering state government when Senator Lujan was elected to the PRC. So familiar. And you've just taken away my next question is you're running against a fairly popular senator in the state. Why do you feel like you need to have a change? But I think you've kind of answered that one. But if you have more to say.
Oh, no, I can go off deluxe. So there's a lot of ways that we're different.
Go ahead.
So I am taking no corporate or AIPAC money. And so I'm not bought off, period. And it's my less than $20,000 against his. Well, he still has $4 million in the bank. Over the past 6 years, he's received about $7 million. And I'm flat not bought off. And due to the money he receives, he cannot even call the genocide in Gaza a genocide. Now, if you can't call a genocide, what can you be for or against? By damn, the genocide in Gaza is a genocide. And we're different in many, many other ways where there is a website out there called the 80%bill.com. There are 21 different bills with over 80% support by the Americans. And yet, well, if we lived in a democracy, they would have already passed. But he only supports two out of the 21 bills. Well, I'm not just going to support all 21 bills. I'm going to fight for them. And I will never vote for somebody like Schumer to be the head of the Senate. And right now, nobody likes Schumer. He needs to go. And yet it would only take one senator to speak up. And within a week, the Democratic caucus would have to meet and vote whether to keep or replace Schumer. Well, clearly, that senator does not exist, including the person I'm running against.
When you say somebody like Schumer, can you say a little bit more about what in particular you mean?
Well, Schumer is not remotely popular as being up to the task of going against the current extremely conservative, out-of-control Republican machine, including Trump. As an example, Trump has received $4.3 billion as president so far this time. And it is specifically in the Constitution that the president shall receive no money, no other money other than his pay as president to make sure that they're not being manipulated by others, especially foreign countries. So who's raising hell about that? By damn, I will. Our Supreme Court's completely out of control. ICE needs abolished. It's completely out of control. We now have concentration camps in the United States. That is shameful and disgusting. And Congress has a 10% approval rating. And yet, everyone keeps voting for their same members of Congress or their same senators. That's ridiculous. But no, none of them are up to the task.
Just out of curiosity, since you said, you know, Trump is benefiting despite the emoluments clause, what kind of action do you think Congress should take that is plausibly effective?
Well, they should be in front of a microphone raising hell every day and demanding his impeachment. And every time he does something for which he receives money, they should point it out, which would probably be every 10 minutes. And he's even manipulating markets where on Friday he'll say, oh, we whichever way he goes, oh, we have a deal with Iran, so the stock market goes up. And then on Monday, oh, well, that fell through, so the stock market goes down. And they've already investigated, and they found that Donald Trump is buying stocks before and after, buying and selling and making money off the market. That's not legal. And who's raising hell about it? I'm going to.
We are speaking with Matt Dodson. He is a Democratic candidate running against Ben Ray Lujan for his U.S. Senate seat. Mr. Dodson, other than talking to you real briefly last night on the phone to confirm your appearance, this is the first time you and I have spoken. And I'm sitting here generally agreeing with almost everything you say, but at the same time having a concern that you're just going to be too extreme. What is your response?
Oh, no.
Yeah, go ahead. Please respond.
The vast majority of Americans are on my side. As a matter of fact, again, with Congress with a 10% approval rating, that leaves 90% of the people that really do like what I'm saying and what I stand for and what I'm going to do. And the one thing that I hear constantly from the Democrats, oh, we're not in power, we can't do anything. Well, here's an example of somebody that does have the backbone to get in there and do something. When both houses of Congress voted against funding to provide taking care of our veterans that were harmed by burn pits to include cancer, John Stewart got in front of a microphone and did a 10-minute rant that the next day Congress got back in and passed the bill. That's what can be done, and that's not extreme. Americans support that. So why don't our congressional members support that? And when we have bills that have 80% plus support, not to mention all the bills that have over 70% support, or frankly, again, we're in a democracy, anything over 51% support should pass, and it's not. It's because of the money in politics. It's because they're being bought off, and even Republicans want money out of politics. So I'm not radical. I'm the one that has the backbone to stand up to this, and I'm going to stand up to this.
Can you say a little bit about how it was that you were expelled from the Democratic Party of New Mexico?
Yes, you don't dare run against an incumbent, legacy last name, corporate Democrat. Matter of fact, the other three members running for Congress have no one running against them. So the state party is completely against me. And right now they're even taking out the secretary of the Democratic Party. She's a Navajo woman from McKinley County, Gallup. And I'm even involved in that where that was due to San Juan County. And we needed to have a new election for a county vice chair. And because they did not advertise as per the rules, in the on the Navajo Nation and on the Navajo Nation radio station, that we had to redo that vote. And when we were discussing that, had a Zoom meeting, and then the Zoom meeting ended, and somebody, again, because we had to go through the process all over again, somebody said, beep the Navajos. And, of course, they didn't say beep. And that's being dismissed. And instead they're going after her as one of the four Navajos who heard it, and they're taking her out. So they're entirely out of control. And again, I have no problem at all taking on even the Democrats and the Democratic Party. Matter of fact, if I get to D.C., I will be a terrorist against everybody, including the Democrats, who are not doing their job and working for us.
Well, why not then, since you don't like the Democrats, why not run as an independent or run for, you know, the PSL? Why present yourself as a Democrat?
Thank you. Because we need ranked choice voting. And without ranked choice voting, then I would be a spoiler candidate. And it could easily put a Republican from New Mexico in Washington, D.C. in the Senate. And that, boy, as tight as the figures are right now, that cannot occur. But let me tell you something. The way I've been treated by the Democratic Party, the next time I run, if I don't win this race, then it's actually a good possibility, or there's a substantial possibility I can win now that declined estates can vote because they're not happy with the status quo. But so I am refusing to be that spoiler candidate. And what I'm also want ranked choice voting. So I'm in the Democratic Party because the only way to get ranked choice voting is to take over one of the two parties. And it's not going to be the Republican Party. So frankly, I am encouraging everyone, instead of registering declined estate or independent or Green Party or the new Forward Party or whatever, to join the Democratic Party. Let's take it over. Let's get ranked choice voting passed. And then we can have multiple parties. And if I run next time as an independent, then, and I split the vote, don't blame me, because our entire state is ran by Democrats and they can pass ranked choice voting quite easily. Now, here's another reason. I've ran third party before. I've ran as an independent before. And here in New Mexico, for me to get on the ballot the first time, it took 2,505 signatures. As a third party, it takes 7,000 signatures. As an independent, it takes 14,000 signatures. Now, that's not equal access to the ballot. And it's hard enough coming up with 2,500 signatures and coming up with 14,000. That is just not democracy. So they've made it too difficult to run as a third party or an independent.
Interesting.
It is. I wanted to ask you about the Supreme Court. You said that was one of the things on your list. If you could reform it, what would you like to see happen there?
Well, to begin with, when the Supreme Court approved the Kavanaugh stops, where the Fourth Amendment no longer applies and law enforcement can pull people over just because of the color of their skin or their accent, the Constitution applies to everyone in the United States. And now that they've overturned the Voting Rights Act, that's stunning. So the way to rein in the Supreme Court is Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution states that Congress shall set the rules for the Supreme Court. So all Congress has to do is pass a rule for the Supreme Court that if it's going to overturn any law passed by Congress, it has to be by a supermajority, 7 out of 9, 8 out of 9, whatever. And if it's going to overturn the Constitution, as difficult as it is to overturn the Constitution going through the other way, through the states, passing it first through Congress, then through the states, or 5 votes on the Supreme Court, no, I would make it be a unanimous decision. And clearly, we have a very activist, out-of-control, rogue Supreme Court.
Well, the Supreme Court, you know, in order to be regulated by Congress, they would have to pass a Judiciary Act that then would have to be signed into law by the president. How likely do you think that is?
No. Article 3, Section 2 states Congress shall set the rules for the Supreme Court. That leaves out the president. So it can be done. So if we take the House and the Senate, it can be done on January 3rd.
So you're not
talking... Not involve the president's signature.
So you're not talking about things like term limits or adding new members?
I will consider anything that works.
Okay.
Now, I want 18-year term limits for everyone but the president and vice president. So 18 years for Congress, both houses of Congress, House and Senate, and 18 years for the Supreme Court.
Okay. I'm getting into a little bit of the weeds here, but I would argue that one of the main things that separates the Senate from the House Not only is it a six-year term as opposed to two and a full state election as opposed to a district, but when it comes to actual governance, the big difference is the filibuster. Right. So let me just ask you, what is your position on that?
The filibuster never should have been put in place. The Senate is the most undemocratic institution between the two that the U.S. has. There are seven states that represent 51% of the population of the United States of America. So one senator from Wyoming, which has about 600,000 people, and two senators, so each one represents about 300,000 people if you just do the simple math. And California has 38 million people. Well, you know, that's not even at all. So what I would recommend, I call it 51-51. It's got some weird name, something cloture rule or whatever. But it would take 51 senators that represent 51% of the vote, or 51% of the population, sorry. And that would completely eliminate then red states from being able to pass, or very, very small states, were able to pass laws with 51 votes that clearly, quite possibly, 70% of the population don't want. And that's why they keep telling us that we need to have the filibuster. But if we pass 51-51, then when 51 senators that represent 51% of the population vote on something, then it passes. So that would eliminate the filibuster, the fear of the very small states representing very few people being able to enact laws that, again, would be very undemocratic if a law was passed that only represented less than 70 or even 80% of the population. So that's what I do with the filibuster. It needs eliminated.
It sounds like what you are saying would be kind of an end run around the Constitution, since the number of senators...
The filibuster is an end run around the Constitution. Nowhere in the Constitution does it state that Senate... Well, it does. It says that the Senate can make its own rules. But I'm sorry, finish your question.
No, I was just going to say that one of the unamendable parts of the Constitution is the fact that every state gets two senators. And so if the Supreme Court were to evaluate your proposal there, it seems like they would be saying, oh, the framers specifically did not want to do anything that would dilute the power of individual states and their senators.
Well, initially, the population of the states was far more equal, and the Constitution was not always followed, putting in states, because when they did the Dakotas, they divided up the Dakotas, where they did not have enough population to actually pass and become states, but they did it anyway to add four senators instead of two senators. So, but the Constitution does need to be amended, so that we have far more equitable representation. But the way to do that, again, is that 51-51, what I call it, the 51-51 rule, where nothing can pass through the Senate unless it has 51 votes that represent 51% of the population. And there's nowhere in the Constitution that it covers this.
We are talking with Matt Dodson. He is the Democratic challenger to Ben Ray Lujan for his U.S. Senate seat in the Democratic primary taking place now. As we close out here, I want to ask you a little bit about your campaign. You mentioned earlier that you're not taking corporate money, or I don't know if you're taking money at all. And you are...
I'll gladly take donations.
Okay.
I just have not received very many donations.
Fair enough. But you are obviously, that is a point of the campaign, that you feel like money plays too large of an influence in politics. And I guess my question is, you said earlier that you feel like the change in the primary will work to your advantage, and I can see how you would think that. But how realistic is it to think that you can run a campaign on a shoestring like that and defeat an incumbent who, as you mentioned, has a very strong war chest that he will draw from if needed?
Oh, it is incredibly difficult. Again, the main thing I have on my side is that nobody's happy with what's going on right now in D.C. No one's pleased with what even the Democrats are doing. Democrats aren't even pleased with what the Democrats are doing. Decline to states or independence. Well, in Bernalillo County alone, sorry, I don't have the figures for Las Cruces, since the first of the year, 1,400 Democrats have, and we even have a word for it since Bernie, they have dim exited. So they've changed their voter registrations from Democrats to decline to states or independents. So if people just learn what I represent and what I'm about, trust me, they love what I have to say. There are very few people who don't. And so if I can just get the word out, then I have a great chance of winning. And
in the,
people just are fed up.
In the scenario in which you, let's say, didn't win and Lujan won the primary, you are going to support him in the general, yeah?
I don't have to because I've been kicked out of the Democratic Party now. If I was still an elected member of the Democratic Party, I would be remiss if I did not. But again, there is no way in hell I am supporting someone who cannot call the genocide in Gaza a genocide. That would make me complicit. And I am never going to be complicit in genocide. And frankly, anyone that votes for Ben Ray Lujan, knowing now that he cannot call the genocide in Gaza a genocide, frankly, they're complicit in genocide. So until he can make a lot of changes, no, I'm not going to throw my name behind him.
We are down to our last minute. Let me just give you a final opportunity. I think people listening to this certainly understand where you're coming from and where you stand, but any final points that you'd like to make?
You bet. Well, please, everyone, go to my website. I have a rather extensive platform on my website. I want people to know where I stand. So it is MattDodson4NM.com. Matt Dodson, F-O-R, and of course, NMNewMexico.com. And check me out for yourself. I even have a page on there that states how I'm different from my opponent. And I've had so many people say that they agree with every single thing on my platform. And that's stunning. That should never happen. You know, we should always disagree on something or not exactly agree. But that is how common sense my platform is and my campaign is. And one thing about me, I'm authentic. So when I speak, you know what I think. And that is really what people are after. And that is what I'm going to bring to Washington.